Bright Lights, Dark Corners. Written by Demery. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, My Hero Academia. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Also tagged for masturbation, body dysphoria, ableism, self, angst, pining, chronic illness, despair, voyeurism, recreational drug use, shotgunning, fluff and humor, canon typical violence, blood, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, nightclub violence, flashbacks, bonding, sweet late-night phone calls, everyone gets soothed, two pining idiots smelling each other on the sheets, because that's super normal. God, they're dumb. Part 18 of the Bandages and Bravado series. Chapter 1. Saturday Morning. It was Saturday. It was an odd thing to realize in that quiet moment, with a square of blinding sunlight painting his dark blue sheets. But Toshinori had never had Saturdays since he graduated from UA. It was the plight of all heroes, and likely the reason Aizawa had such troubles with his combined schedule. Crime didn't keep a 9-to-5 or observe weekends. And because of that, there was a relentless meter to Toshinori's time as All Might that defied organization and made it seem like even more of a rambling, decades-long dream. Here, at UA, there was a pattern. Here, there were Saturdays, where relatively nothing was expected of him besides preparing for the week. And thanks to the help of a certain exacting homeroom teacher, he was now 3 quizzes ahead of schedule. So, what to do with Saturdays? He had been tired enough to sleep well, and was now so heavy with the rest that he couldn't even begin to fret. Toshinori breathed in deeply and held it until he felt his heart begin to tap at his caving chest, then released it. His head swam pleasantly, ribs creaking as he sank into the plush bed he so infrequently got to enjoy. So Toshinori did just that. He sighed and rooted around in the cool sheets, the only sound in the room that of the rustling. Fairly quickly, it became obvious that he would have to deal with Friday night before courting Saturday morning, and the barrier between the two was rather obvious. Hot against his leg, making it hard to think, obvious. Toshinori took another deep breath and reached down, skimming his fingertips across the length of his erection. The breath shuddered out of him, far less controlled than before, as his thick shaft flexed instantaneously, sensitive and far more awake than he was. His entire body pulsed greedily, making him shiver, and his long toes curled against the cool sheets. He had dreamt of Aizawa, undoubtedly. He usually did when he dreamt, which, thankfully, wasn't often. After a moment of hesitation, Toshinori pushed the sheets aside and opted out of a cold shower. Because it was Saturday. His Saturday. It was too easy for Toshinori to start touching himself, no matter how silly the hero felt reaching back for slightly banal memories, not even 12 hours old. The way Aizawa's dark eyes flicked up to meet him over the bar last night during their impromptu staff outing. Perfectly casual, yet somehow secretive. His smile, slow and indulgent and rare. And the deep laugh that followed even more rarely, usually coaxed by his friend's antics, if everyone was in a good mood. Everyone had been in such a good mood, laughing and talking and opening up, and he'd had no right to be so distracted by a man doing nothing more than sitting and sipping and glancing. He would be worried, the amount that he thought of the younger hero during this type of thing. But then, what were fuck buddies for? Toshinori's wry smile melted into a grimace as he squeezed at the head of his cock and dragged down, already arching into the pressure. The memory of the bar stuttered, insufficient, and his mind was quick to supply fragments of the positively revelatory blowjob from a week or two ago, something he still wasn't certain had actually happened. The memory of Aizawa on his knees in front of him, jumpsuit unzipped, was more than enough to have his hand moving irresponsibly fast down the length of his cock, catching and spreading pre-cum until his palms slid and clicked over the aching skin, and his head eased back against the pillow, mouth parting. In his mind, Aizawa brutally squeezed the glistening upper half of his cock as the muscles in his arm bent behind his back, pulsed frantically, clearly pushing himself to orgasm with his fingers alone, and it was not easy. Aizawa didn't like things easy, and Toshinori watched the complex animal pull of every tendon with rapture, gaze sticking on the shiny stripes of scar tissue on the younger hero's exposed rib, now pricked with sweat. He heard, again, the raw staccato noises, saw his reddened lip pulling back over his teeth, eyes screwed shut, Aizawa's body finally bent with a furious sound of relief, cum arcing up and over the naked slit of skin at his chest, spilling over his whitened knuckles. Toshinori hadn't realized he was holding his breath until Aizawa had come, and his own body trembled violently. He'd had to sit back, breathing hard. Harder, maybe, than Aizawa. Aizawa had seemed amused at the time, but Toshinori was plainly overwhelmed by the brazen sensuality of the display, as well as the honesty of the younger hero's relationship with his body. The way he just did what he needed, wanted, to do, and somehow it looked beautiful in the process. Perhaps because it clearly felt amazing. It was a mystery. A powerful and peculiar mystery he knew he could touch but never feel. "Do you touch yourself?" Aizawa's low question resurfaced in his jumbled, straining thoughts, as his pace and his hand slowed to a contemplative exploration of the skin under his fingers. The question had hardly been suitable for the small cafe table at which they sat a few days earlier, going over notes. Startled but emboldened by the events of the spa, Toshinori had considered the question and then miraculously attempted coyness. Play, trying to show that he understood how. This time, Aizawa was not playing. "You know what I mean. All of yourself." That day, the smile fell from his face. His first thought, inordinately stung, was that they had agreed not to talk about this. While knowing the truth was that they simply hadn't talked, and that was by design. He looked aside. The answer, his only answer, was pried out of him by nothing more or less than Aizawa's unwavering gaze and expectation, and he couldn't keep the unshielded grief from his voice. "Why would I?" Aizawa still had not seen the full extent of his injury beyond that first night, beyond the onsen itself, and Toshinori didn't intend to reveal the depth of his many fractures until the last possible moment, if at all. Still, continuing in the same low tone as if not to spook him, away, Aizawa had spoken of confronting that part of himself, or simply acknowledging it. That was the word Aizawa had used. Acknowledge. Like it was a thing separate from himself. In many ways, maybe it was. A crater of identity, still rippling and molten and raw, that blurred his edges and shattered his purpose in life. It was a separator between Yagi Toshinori and All Might, yes, but also between who he thought he was and the body he was forced to live in. The body he endured, hated, hid. Until that moment in the cafe, he had never understood how much energy it took to hide like he did. Perhaps because so much of it was spent deceiving himself. Toshinori closed his eyes. His hand had stilled its steady roll up and down his cock. But he started again, with purpose, and felt pure apprehension spread along his bare chest like an oil slick, obscenely heavy. Grimy. He moved and shifted and settled and sighed, distracting himself with everything from the stale air in the room to the slide of the sheets under his back, and still found his breath coming short. He could do this, couldn't he? For me, Aizawa had said, scenting his shameless weakness for performing for others and smoothing it with a small, kind smile and fingers grazing his wrist softly enough to make his tired heart skip a beat. For your homework, try. His fingertips against his hip, wandering a little awkwardly, felt fine. But then, as he trailed up, his light touch met with harder and harder skin, and a bitter feeling snuck in underneath the rush of the simple pleasure of his hand working his cock, poisoning the well. He tried to think about something else, but suddenly arousal wasn't so easy. The closer he got, the more his mind cramped into looping, frightening static, and the way his toes curled felt less like anticipation than the impression that his smallest pieces were trying to retract, get away, flee from the maelstrom of scar tissue and loss at his center. The urge to cough crawled up his throat, and Toshinori had to stop when he tasted bright blood in his mouth and realized his heart was pounding sickeningly. Danger. Shame. Don't. No, his body screamed under his hand. Can't. Scrambling upright, the older hero leaned forward into his sheets, once cool and fresh, and jolted with hacks and coughs, enduring the caustic waves of shame washing down his emaciated body, and souring whatever the morning had given him. He coughed straight from his thrice-stapled gut, wrenching enough that it felt like he was trying to expel the rank feeling of never being enough, rotten and roiling underneath his scarred skin. Head spinning, he tightened his fist and focused on the pinpricks of his nails in his palm. He breathed hatefully fast, stressing his remaining lung and swallowing more and more coppery blood in what felt like punishment for daring to touch, or maybe just expecting to feel anything other than the ruin he knew he was. When he finally caught his breath, exhausted, Toshinori simply stayed curled around his bony knees for what felt like an eternity, bearing down on the pricking at the corners of his eyes. There was blood on the sheets, he knew, but that was why they weren't white. It had been so long, he could barely notice the smell anymore. He sighed raggedly, wiry hair fluffing around his head as he fell back onto his pillow. So much for Saturday being easy. Or his. Toshinori stared up at the ceiling, only half-heartedly trying to come back to himself. Here, his plus-ultra attitude failed, and he had to admit, It hurt too much. Instead of physical pain, something he was so accustomed to, even the lightest of conscious touch there bent the fabric of him and rattled him apart. It showed his seams, and he wasn't ready to see the dark, revolting, world-ending weakness beneath. Rational or not, it felt like if he gave it a chance, a foothold in his identity, it would never end. And the last of his illusions of autonomy, health, purpose, would fall apart. What if he was never ready? Was it even worth it in the time he had? Toshinori covered his eyes, teeth snapping together. Aizawa thought too much of him, if he ever thought he would be remotely whole again. Even then, it was only the blessed pressure of the man's eyes and hands holding him down and together. Pathetic. Useless. Some homework, he thought bitterly. That deserved a grade so low. Zero was a euphemism. How on earth did someone like Aizawa endure him? Abruptly curtailing any further self-hatred, an enormous buzzing sound filled his bedroom. Loud and close enough that Toshinori instantly flung the covers over his head, then scrambled for his phone with his face already burning in embarrassment. He was alone. Why was he embarrassed? And yet, such was his talent for it. Maybe it was the booming, "Watashi ga kitta!" ringtone, which Naomasa had set as a joke some months ago, and he lacked the technical skill to change. He really should talk to Midoriya about it, see if the younger generation could save him, literally, from himself. Toshinori finally wrangled his phone up off the bedside table and answered it, formal but winded. "Good morning. How can I help you?" "Yagi-san." Aizawa's deep monotone and the name and the formal suffix made Toshinori seek shelter in his rumpled sheets in earnest, neck and ears burning for a completely different reason. "Son, my man." He smacked himself in the head. Why did he say such things? Toshinori struggled upright and compulsively smoothed his wild hair, which needed a wash. All of him did. "What's going on?" The sound on the other line abruptly warped, turning distant and tinny. He heard Aizawa speaking with someone in the background, and there was a low rattle, then a close intake of breath. "Hey, it's Saturday." "It is," was all he could say, feeling more stymied by the minute, as well as spectacularly disappointed in his personal Saturday. "So what kind of music are you into?" "Excuse me?" Toshinori croaked, eyes wide, his hand frozen in his hair. Aizawa's only answer was a low, lazy laugh. And he knew, whatever it was, he was going.